And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode 28, and I am your host, William, known as PoeticsO44, and I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart,
known across the internet as Casual Terror.
And we have a very special guest, a writer on thegeeksforthewin.com, Knox.
Hello, people. This is Knox, KN0XXX, and I'm feeling good. What's going on?
So, Knox, do you want to tell our audience a little about yourself? Where you came from and, you know, why you decided to write for the site, and just let them know who you are, the man behind the writing.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, like most, I started on Tag, pretty much on the forums, the community, playing games, game license stuff, and got hip to Twitter about midway through last year. And then once you get on Twitter, man, it's addictive. So I started meeting people, started following a lot of other people, followed you guys, and you guys said that you guys needed some writers. So I was on board with it, checked out the site, and I like what you guys were doing. So, and of course, I like writing anyway, so it was like a perfect fit.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that Twitter. It's addictive. I remember when I was first told about Twitter, it was like 2007. One of my computer teachers was telling me about it, and he was like, oh, it's this site where it's like kind of like Facebook, but it's just the status, you know, just the status, like what you're doing and stuff. And I was like, that seems interesting. And I made an account and didn't really use it. And then it blew up and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I was the same way. When I first made my account, I probably didn't use it for like a whole month because I really didn't see the point in it. I was one of those people who just, you know, stayed with Facebook. But now I don't even check my Facebook anymore. I mean, I'm all over Twitter. I mean, Twitter is, you know, pretty much where, you know, you can go. I mean, you only have 140 characters, so you don't have people, you know, arguing for long periods of time. I mean, and it's real quick in and out. You know, you can conversate with your friends. You can follow other people, get information real quickly. I mean, Twitter is just where the big boys play.
Yeah, definitely. And I've said this before, the thing I love about Twitter is no Facebook games. I always get invites. Oh, come, you know, help me do my farm in Farmville or all kinds of stuff like that. And I'm like, no, I don't want to play Farmville. I just want to keep in touch with friends who've moved out of state. So, but yeah, I guess we can go into our main topic, or start going into our topics. I want to just first say something awesome happened. I got an email from the lead developer of Fish Factory, Fish Factory something. What's it called? Oh, I feel bad now.
Like Fish Factory Games?
Fish Factory Games, yeah. I was wanting to say studio, but Fish Factory Games Studio, yeah. There we go. But and they were just, I'm not sure how they heard, you know, from the Geeks for the Win, but they heard of us and they gave me a free copy of their game to review. And, you know, I was like, okay, why not? It's free. So I ended up playing it and I just couldn't stop until I ended up beating the original 16 levels. And it's just addictive. There's a review on the site. I, you know, encourage you to check it out if you're a fan of platformer and slash puzzle games, and if you're also a fan of like Portal, Braid, and what else, Mega Man. Yeah, because it kind of felt like a cross between all of those.
Cool. Is it a mobile game or a PC game?
It's a PC game right now. You can only get it from their site, but they're gonna submit to Steam I think next week, and it's gonna be on Xbox end of February, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
There's a free demo, but on their site, and there's also a couple of screenshots and a trailer on the article that I wrote. So it's a really fun game. I mean, it felt like a mix between, like I said, Portal, Braid, and Mega Man.
Oh, okay. Is it kind of like Bit Trip or something? Like, is it like music based, or is it more heavy on the puzzles?
It's more heavy on like on the puzzle aspect. You have a gravity you have a gravity gun, and you can you're trying to get through the levels, and you have regular you shoot gravity portals and anti-gravity portals, or they call it gravity wells, and depending on you can jump, you can do your two jumps, and then if you shoot the portal at the right spot, and then you do the jumps, you'll get sucked into it, and then you can recharge your jumps, and then you can also use the anti-gravity to keep you floating up while you recharge, and it's pretty addictive. I mean, the graphics aren't it's a little 8-bit type game, so it's not like 3D, spectacular BioShock type graphics, but it's addictive. The only complaint I had for it was it was only 16 levels, but once you beat those 16, you get it starts on hard mode where you lose the anti-gravity option.
Oh.
Yeah, and a bunch of other stuff, but it was a pretty fun game. I encourage all of y'all to at least check out my article and look at the 1.5-minute trailer.
Yeah, and if okay. And if that doesn't get you, the cover shot or whatever is the lady's tripping. So there's that.
Yeah, the protagonist, I guess, is a female, kind of like on Metroid. So yeah, but yeah, I just thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I just got an email all of a sudden. It's not like I emailed them asking about it. Just makes me think, or maybe our site's bigger than I thought it was.
Well, yeah, we could use a lot more of those.
Definitely.
Yeah, we never know who's listening or who's always, put those links out there, put those, posts out there. I mean, you never know who will come across it.
Definitely. And that's just, it's pretty cool. I mean, and also the game is $4.99, so it's just $5. It's not anything too expensive, so. But I guess, do y'all have any other topics about gaming y'all want to talk about?
Yeah, there was a gaming night. I was on Tag playing a little bit of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. You guys play that yet?
No, I've got the second one. I'm going to play through that before I play Brotherhood.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just hopped in the multiplayer because I wanted to see how it was, because I still haven't finished Assassin's Creed 2 either. But I hopped in there. It was Benino, Ace Black, Forgetful, and a bunch of other people was in there. We had like an 8-person party going. I gotta say, man, I had to put my foot in my mouth, man. I mean, I've had to eat all my words. I mean, that multiplayer is fun. I mean, I was losing because Ace Black is a backstabber, but the game is awesome, man. Like, I mean, just the level of tension that you have, when you're going after somebody, but you have to kind of watch your actions. You got to kind of keep yourself low key and don't, sprint or like jump on buildings and walls and things that much, because you have to bear in mind that somebody is following you. So, the game is awesome, man. Like, it's a good change of pace from just a typical first person shooter grind.
Oh yeah, I've played all the Assassin's Creed. I've beat them all. I tried to get into the multiplayer, like I tried to get into a random game, and I couldn't even get into those. So I haven't touched the multiplayer yet, and somebody's borrowing my copy right now, so I can't do that right now.
Yeah, it's a whole lot better when you play with friends, because even though I was losing, like every time the match was over or whatever, the guys jumped in and say, hey, you need to try this, try this, don't run around so much. So it's so it was pretty cool playing it with friends. It's a whole lot better though.
Oh yeah, I can imagine Ace Black just screaming over the mic stuff he'd be saying,
especially since there was that contest for submitting killing Ace Black in different types of ways, I guess, like gaming. So I'm sure there's people like recording their screens trying to kill him on purpose for that tag contest.
Yeah, I forgot totally about that contest, because that's the only person that I was killing the whole time was Ace Black. I pretty much made it a point to stab him in the back again.
Oh, yeah. That's how it was back when Modern Warfare 2 was big. It just seemed like him and me were killing each other all the time, trash talking. I actually watched my friend play the multiplayer, and it looked really awesome. I got to say, I had no intentions on playing Assassin's Creed or picking it up, but I saw him play it and it was so fun, so I decided to watch the cutscenes for the first one because everyone told me don't play the first one because it's horrible. Well, and so I'm watching the cutscenes, and then I got the second one from Gamefly, and then I'll probably try to pick up the third one after I'm done with that. So hopefully it's still around when I get to it.
Yeah, they're taking a page out of the Battlefield Bad Company book. You know how like Battlefield Bad Company, when you play the multiplayer, how it has like this little prologue of like a campaign type movie before the battle starts or either after it ends. They have this long video that like starts off before you even begin the multiplayer, where they have all these subjects, and I mean you're pretty much it's pretty much like a large room full of like Desmonds in like the room, and this guy he's like saying, you know, you are the subjects of whatever scientific research thing that we're doing, and you're gonna be jumping into this. Yeah. But I kind of like how they portray that in the multiplayer. I mean, even though, you know, you're gonna be going into multiplayer and just playing around, but it's kind of cool that they kind of take it that far and kind of, you know, explain and elaborate on it and like make it a part of the fiction.
Yeah, definitely. My only problem is I think I don't have the patience to be calm for that game, for the multiplayer. I mean, because if you blow your cover, you know, everyone knows you're not in the crowd, you know, you're not an AI. So I'm afraid I won't have the patience to just slowly walk, you know, and blend in, because I don't think I have the patience. I love the Twitch shooter type games because of that.
You'd be the guy on the roof just saying like, hey, kill me.
Probably so.
Well, see, the cool thing is that I mean, you can choose to play it like that. Of course, you'll probably die a whole lot more. But the thing about it is, I mean, you can choose to play it like that because even though your target is coming after you, you can rack up a couple kills. You know, I mean, especially like when like the time is going down, when it's like a minute left, you see everybody just running around the map trying to get the last kills. I mean, so you can play it like that, but they reward players more for, you know, playing more stealthy because of, that's the gameplay, of course.
Yeah, and I remember my friend, watching him play, there was all he would jump in a bush a lot to hide. I thought that was kind of funny. Just jumping in a bush would fool a lot of people. Yeah, that seems like a really great game, and hopefully everyone's not, you know, on to the next hotness by the time I get around to it. That seems to be the way everything is. But any other gaming thing anyone wants to talk about?
I've just been playing World of Warcraft all day, so.
I haven't really been playing too much myself. Like I said, I've just been watching Assassin's Creed 1 cutscenes, trying to get ready for the second one. Played a little Black Ops and Super Street Fighter 4, but that's it. Boy, am I rusty in Super Street Fighter 4. Ugh. I need a lot of practice. Okay, I guess we can move on to the next topic. The Verizon iPhone, rumored for, what, the last year? Probably more?
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, way more than that.
But, lo and behold, it's actually coming out, according to Engadget, February 10th. Seems like there's a couple changes, but not that many. Stuart, you know all about the changes, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Better than I do. Better than I do.
They fixed the antenna problem. You can't use data while making a call, which I think is kind of silly. I mean, it's...
What?
Especially since one of their commercials was talking about, you're on a phone call, oh, check your email, oh, do this, exactly, do that. They had a whole commercial showing that.
Yeah, but you can't.
That was like two iPhones ago.
You, sir, are false advertising.
that's Apple for you.
Yeah, I was telling Will this before. I really think, you know, the reason it's coming out now is because of the pressure that the Android phones are giving, because, you know, the Android phones are on multiple carriers and they're selling a lot more than the iPhone. So
Yeah, they've been outselling the iPhone for the last over 6 months at least, I think, because they're just widely available.
Right. I mean, that's why it's never smart to keep to, you know, have your product locked into one carrier. I mean, that was their biggest mistake, is to be locked in with AT&T. I think what they're doing with this now, they're basically clearing the iPhone 4 stock by, you know, cutting them down and selling them cheap. I mean, my wife bought an iPhone over AT&T's website about a month ago for $20. It was a refurb. But they're getting rid of these things because they're getting ready for something big, possibly the iPhone 5 or you know, maybe more. I don't know what it is, but they're just trying to flush out through all that inventory.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to bring something big because, like y'all were talking about on the Prove Your Point episode, there's some powerful, beastly Android phones coming out. I mean, that dual core. You know, 1 gigahertz each core. I mean, that's impressive. That's more powerful than a netbook, if you think about it that way. I mean, a netbook, the average netbook is like 1.6 gigahertz. So, I mean, that dual core, 1 gigahertz each, that's basically 2 gigahertz. That's, I mean, more powerful than a computer. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And that one that can hook up and basically turn into a computer. Atrix 4G, that's just crazy.
Yeah, and also with the Android being on multiple carriers, I mean, they have the potential to reach a wide, you know, array of customers, you know, a lot, you know, larger than Apple could ever imagine, because they're on just one carrier. Well, I mean, 2 carriers now by February 10th, but...
And one phone only.
Right, exactly. But I think when consumers start seeing, hopefully... the other manufacturers will be able to exploit what Apple can't do as far as their user interface and most of the key elements that you need in order to control your phone. If they can show off the practicality and the simplicity of their devices, I think that they can capture that market, because aside from the iPhone 4, there's nothing really that Apple really has in the phone realm that can really compete technologically with these powerhouses that are coming out, like the Vizio phone and like the Motorola's out there.
Yeah, I mean, I said before, the Android, you can make it, it can be as simple as you want, or, you know, for like the average day consumer who just wants a cool phone to surf the web and have the apps, or you could have customize it, you know, access your computer through your phone and do all the high tech stuff that we would do with the phone. I mean, it's up to the user to use basically with Android. I mean, as far as customization goes, Apple, you don't really have any with the iPhone.
Unless, you know, you...
Yeah, not unless you jailbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the commercial? I forget which phone it is, but it's talking about FaceTime. Where the iPhone 4 can only do FaceTime if you're in a Wi-Fi area.
Oh, the My Touch 4G.
Yeah, that's it.
Commercial.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny commercial. They actually a couple days ago. It was announced they leaked a commercial where they were actually making fun of the iPhone being on both carriers. They were like, "What's the difference?" Pretty much nothing.
Except Verizon doesn't drop as many calls.
Well, I think AT&T has gotten better about that. I've heard a lot of people say they've gotten better about their dropped calls, but
well, this person is saying no.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I'm on AT&T, and my wife is on AT&T, so they have no excuse. And I mean, I can be driving home from work. I can be, at my house on Wi-Fi, the call still drops. So, on my end, they haven't improved it. And I'm in Texas, so I have a pretty, large coverage area where I'm at. I'm in Dallas, so.
Yeah.
It's still an issue.
Well, at least when you're on the call, you can use data, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just don't understand Verizon's network specifically with the iPhone. I mean, you would think that they would be able to do voice and data, because I can't tell you how many times I've pulled up MapQuest or I pulled up maps on my iPhone or even my GPS app, and I'm using that and talking to my wife or talking to a relative or something, trying to get somewhere. I mean, I can't see myself not having that type of functionality.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I've got the original MyTouch 3G, and I can even do that when I'm in an area that has 3G.
Well, it's not an actual Verizon thing. It's the Verizon iPhone, because you know I have a Droid, Incredible, and you know that's Verizon, and I can do data and talk at the same time. So
you think it's more the hardware, not necessarily the network?
Yeah.
I don't know the technical about, you know, too much into the specs of the Verizon iPhone, but I think they just tried to quickly make one, you know, quickly do the few changes they could to make it work for Verizon, and that's just one of the things that ended up happening. I think maybe with the iPhone 5, they'll have that fixed, hopefully. If not, Apple's in trouble, I think.
Yeah, that seems like something that they can update over some type of firmware or something. I mean, the phone has the capability to do it, so hopefully they'll be able to update it.
Yeah, I guess we can move on to the next topic. NBC's The Cape premiered last Sunday. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, Knox.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I've been kind of looking forward to this because anything, you know, superhero-like, I'll want to give a shot, you know, and I hope for it to be good. And I know a lot of people were saying, oh, it looks stupid, oh, it looked horrible and stuff before it even came out. And I'll get more on that later. But I sat down, I watched it, 2-hour premiere. I watched it live instead of waiting for Hulu or whatever. It, by the way, that felt very weird watching live TV, because everything 90% of my TV I watch online. So
everybody.
Yeah. Well, at least everyone we know, anyways. But I thought it had some rough points because basically they were trying to get the origin story out of the way. But I liked it overall. I think you disagree with that, Stuart.
I was expecting it to be different than it was, and that's kind of what made me not like it that much. Like, I was expecting it to be something else. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be really campy and kind of silly, but it was. And that's kind of what disappointed me.
I love some of the silly parts. Like, when the little person, or what's the politically politically correct way to say it?
Yeah, you said it right.
Yeah, little person when he beat up that dude with the wrench, I thought that was funny, and that was pretty campy. I mean, especially the way the line he said afterwards. I can't remember what he said, but well,
what really got me was when he was creating his mask and like cutting out the holes and stuff, and then he put it on. And then for some reason just started screaming. My mom turned to me and said, "If it hurts, take it off."
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I kind of like how they just jump like head first into the whole, you know, comic book. I mean, they have the classic, you know, superhero, you know, story. I mean, he's a broken man. They got the supervillains in there. They got the protagonist, the antagonist. I mean, and they're not afraid to just go ahead and do it. But, I mean, I think the show showed, you know, finally, hey, you can do this type of thing. Hopefully, it'll continue on in the same fashion, and they won't try to make it like it's too serious. But I'm absolutely loving it, man.
Oh, definitely. I did think there's some cool stuff. Like I was glad to see Summer Glau is doing something. Yeah. You know, I'm glad to see she's doing something, because I haven't seen her in anything since Dollhouse.
That's the girl from Firefly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. She looked different. Well, I guess she's older now.
Yeah. I thought her character was pretty good, and you know, hopefully we can see more from that. I think my biggest complaint is Chess, the dude who calls himself Chess, basically the main bad guy.
Yeah.
whenever it was him doing something, he just seemed way too creepy. I mean, he just creeped me out beyond reason. Like that I think that was the campiest part of the whole, every time he came on.
Yeah, him with like the long monologues and him telling Cape, you will do this and I'm going to do this, the typical supervillain. But I didn't think that they went too overboard with it. I mean, I thought it was a good character, as far as the fiction. I mean, I thought it fit. I mean, pretty much everything fit. I kind of think they had to rush the origin story because of the fact that, they're probably testing the waters on this show, of course, because that was the pilot, of course. But, other than that, I mean, because you can always clean some of that stuff up with like another episode or something like that if you want to. But yeah. I like the funny part where what's the magician's name? The guy that does the voice of the Arbiter.
I can't either. I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. Well, the one scene where he kind of like, where he thinks he's about to go or whatever, and he's like laying down, and he closes his eyes. He was like, oh. I wasted a perfectly good death speech, and he like raised up. But, that was pretty funny, man. I mean that was pretty good.
Keith David.
Yeah, Keith David. That's his name.
One of my main complaints about it was, that the relationships between characters formed really fast.
Yeah, that's
like,
yeah,
like you know, like with the main guy, I forget his name.
The Cape?
Yeah, the Cape, him.
Vince.
Where him and the Keith David character met, the Cape, he was a cop. And
yeah.
The other guy, he was a bank robber and held the guy hostage. And then just, I don't know if I fell asleep or what, but next thing I knew, he was trying to help him become the Cape. Just, like,
well, it sped through. They sped through time
there. I understood that, yeah. But still, like, it's a TV show. You can draw things out a bit.
Well, like Knox said, they wanted to rush the origin story because you don't want to have like half the first season be the origin story.
Why not?
You want to jump into the good stuff.
Because with a show like this type of show, it can have the potential to have a mass appeal. But the ability for it to do that is kind of few and far between because people like us like it, but they have to captivate, the masses audience. Like, okay, give me the pain, give me the love, give me the action, as quickly as possible. And then, then kind of build up on that. And I think that's the reason why they had to kind of do it the way they did it. But I think they could have did a better job with editing. Like, they could have like showed some screen scrolls and say, hey, this is 6 months later or whatever. Then that kind of, that would have made your brain kind of think, okay, well, this is 6 months later and he's been training in that. And okay, now you're seeing the training and the relationship makes more sense rather than just quick cuts. And it seems like this happened in like a course of a day or something.
Yeah. Even a quick scene of like them conversing and starting to like each other, I would, okay. But it was just, like that. Oh, hey, yeah. Help me, huh?
Oh, you're a cop, right? Well, I need you to help me rob this bank.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm going to train you.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went.
Yeah.
Well, he did have to tell him that he had that key for all the banks, basically. He had to convince him not to kill him. They did have that.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite parts was when he was in the – I can't remember. He was in that store and it was being robbed and he basically stopped the robbery and he went and tried to pay for the item. And the guy was like, no, you keep. And he was like, what's your name? And he's like, the Cape, but you're not wearing a cape. Oh, you'll work on it.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty good, I hope it's going to be a good show because I mean, we need more shows like this or the concept of it anyways.
Yeah.
I like I said, I'm all into superheroes and comic-like stuff, so I'm definitely looking forward to more of this. And do y'all have any more to say about the Cape?
I just think
for any viewer, I think they should at least give it a watch. I mean, watch the first two episodes. They're on Hulu. It's not a waste of your time. I think it's good. I think it's good because of the camp factor, and I think it's good because they don't go too far with the comic book factor, but they do take it seriously. And it has, I mean, from what I saw, it has good character development. So, I mean, it does have potential to be something good.
Stuart,
I'm just going to have to go back and watch it in a different light, just because of the way I was expecting it, just right. Maybe not like it. So I'm just going to have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah. They were just trying to get through the origin story, because I think a lot of people don't like, you know, origin stories to drag out. I mean, I think our biggest complaints for, you know, like comic book movies are, you know, quickly go through the origin story and get to the action. I mean, I've heard so many people say, you know, we all know how Spider-Man got, you know, we all know this. We, you know, hurry, just try to do as quickly as you can with the origin story. Don't make the whole entire movie. And I think they were just trying to do that, you know, and they dedicated a 2-hour, you know, episode to the origin story. So that basically two episodes right there. So, but anyways, that's all I got on that. I'm definitely be watching it. I guess we can take a break for our OFR and promo.
Anthony is such a geek. What is this folder says podcast? What is this even about? Let's see.
What? Why are you on my computer? What are you doing?
Dude, I was just trying to play a game.
What's that folder you got open?
I don't know. It says podcasts.
Yeah, podcasts. You like podcasts, man?
I don't know.
Dude, oh, man. Dude, podcasts are like, they're sweet, man. Like, look right here. Look at this folder. Says,
wait, let me use the. Why are you grabbing the mouse?
Hand it to me. I'm not going to do this over your shoulder.
All right, dude. Let me get up. You're laying all on me.
Well, you see, this one says, like, OFR. Yeah, this is Open Forum Radio, man. And they got all kind of cool. Podcasts is like an internet radio show.
Oh, yeah?
They got, yeah, anything you want, man. Like, Open Forum Radio, they got, like, the OFR Sportscast, the 40cast, the Prove Your Point. Is it like a debate show?
Oh, yeah.
Geeks for the Win, Section Z cast. My favorite is this one down here at the bottom, the Angry Mailman. I really like that one.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah. Yeah, and you can just go to, like, openformradio.com. Hey,
tell me a little more about this Angry Mailman podcast. Anthony.
And we're back from our break. Had a little pre-discussion on one of the topics related to one of the topics we're about to talk about. Well, I guess we'll jump into our I recommend section. My choice. Well, Stuart, I guess we can get into your choice first and leave mine for last, since all of us have seen mine.
And mine won't take that long.
Yeah.
My recommendation was the Dristen Files. It's on Netflix. There's only one season, sadly. It's about a wizard who is kind of based in Chicago, and he does, you know, paranormal investigation type stuff. It's based on a book series that's there's 13 books in this series, and the latest one will be released this March.
So like novels, or is it like comic books? Or
no, they're novels.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know they were based on books. That's interesting.
Yeah, I just kind of recently found that out myself.
But yeah, you told me about it, I looked it up, you know, wikied it basically, and I guess it was on Sci-Fi, and they only kept it around for one season. That's a shame.
It's good.
I watched the first, like, I think 3 or 4 episodes, and it is pretty good. I'm definitely enjoying it. It's different. It's different from stuff I'm used to, but, you know, it's an investigation, and I love investigation type stuff. So I'm definitely enjoying it, and it's got some humor to it.
Because, you know, Dristen uses, instead of like a wand, he uses a hockey stick.
Oh, yeah. But I meant like the interaction between him and the it's a ghost, right?
Yes.
Who lives in his skull?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty weird. But yeah, the interaction between them are pretty funny. I think that's one of my favorite characters is that ghost guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's the comic relief of the show.
Yeah, but I can see why it didn't last, because I don't think it has a big appeal to a variety of people. I mean, it's a good, I enjoyed it and you enjoy it, but I don't think the average, you know, I guess the average TV viewer would probably like it.
Well, it's
translate it as well as, you know, one would think into the TV shows or movies.
Yeah, because then you have those, you know, the fans of the book are usually, you know, the jaded group that, you know, hey, you know, don't touch my fiction, you know, don't just leave it the way it is, you know, in the book. And I mean, even most movies don't have the potential to live up to what you get inside of a book.
True. One interesting fact is James Marsden, the guy who plays Spike in Buffy.
Oh, yeah. Marsters.
Marsters, yeah.
Yeah.
He did the narration for some of the audiobooks, and he was actually offered the position, the role of Harry, but he turned it down.
Wonder if that would have made a difference.
I don't know.
A little bit of star power in there.
Yeah,
because
then again, it didn't do Caprica any justice, him being on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting show. Like I said, I watched the first few episodes, and I think I'm gonna take my time watching the rest. Normally, I just rush through a TV series if it's on Instant Watch, and I kind of cheat myself, you know, because I'll watch like a three. Like I watched the Robin Hood series in like 2 weeks, all three seasons, and actually less than 2 weeks, I think. I think almost 2 weeks, but yeah. And I kind of cheat myself out because I guess I just have a lot of time around the computer in between, you know, classes or whatever, and I just watch Netflix. But yeah, gonna take my time on that. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Stuart?
I think that's it for the Drissen Files, other than I think people should watch it because it's good. It's only one season, so.
Yeah. My section is Batman/Superman Apocalypse. And this recently came on Netflix, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and,
about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I saw it when it released on like DVD or whatever, and when I saw it released on Netflix, I had to add it because I love this series or this movie. I think it was just amazing because the thing I loved the most about it was it had the original Batman and Superman voice actors.
Yes, Tim Daly, Kevin, and Kevin Conroy.
And Kevin Conroy, yes.
Yes, that was good. That was good to hear those guys.
Yeah, I kind of had a slight problem with the way the characters looked. They looked a little different. Like Batman looked a little weird, and I thought.
Superman was a pretty boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of looked like their lips were like,
yeah,
really small, like kind of drew together, you know? But I mean, the animation was actually, I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like the quality of animation as far as DC goes has gotten a whole lot better.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
When, like, during the fight scenes, like, I thought, you know, like, I can actually see, like, a real person kind of doing this.
Right.
Like, no, not really the flying part, but, you know, like, the way they moved. It's really the fight choreography, I think, has gotten a lot better since, you know, when they didn't really want to show it, it was just a blur.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of, you know, screen cuts, like fast cuts, you know?
Yeah.
But I think they're taking pages out of the anime books because you can see the style of them. Like, I don't know if you remember the Batman animated series back in the day and the Brave and the Bold. Like, it's like they're taking out all the textures of, like, the muscles and everything are completely just taken out. Like, they look like flat drawings. But, like, on these movies, I mean, you know, textures, muscle cuts, you know, I mean, the anatomy of the body is well drawn together. even in motion, it's just well done.
Except in this case, the lips.
Yeah. It looks like they're all chewing on sour candy or something.
Yeah, but for me, the big thing is the voices. That's the icing on my cake right there. To hear Kevin Conroy, because I grew up watching the 90s Batman series and the Superman series, so, you know, those voices are so familiar. And did y'all happen to see the opening credits to see who played Supergirl?
Yeah, I
saw him, but I didn't pay any attention.
I saw her, like, I saw her name come up in the opening credits. I was like, she's in this? Wow.
Yeah.
And then when she started talking, I knew immediately.
Yeah, Summer Glau.
Yeah.
We were talking about her earlier on the Cape.
Yeah, she...
But,
oh,
yeah.
That was her?
Yeah.
Yeah, she played Supergirl.
What?
Yeah. I thought she did a pretty good job with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it honestly, it took me a bit before I realized it was her, but... Because the first time I saw it, I didn't see her name in the opening credits. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. It's kind of a coincidence that she's on two of the things we were talking about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought it was well done, I mean, with the story. And it really surprised me because I thought it was about to be over when, you know, they were heading to Smallville. I thought that was about to be the end, and then no, there's still more with Apocalypse coming back. But
oh yeah, and can I just say, it is never a bad thing to watch scantily clad Amazon women run around and fight.
No,
it's real, real easy on the eyes.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but I noticed the second time watching this, because I watched it again last night, they actually made references in the beginning of the movie to we were talking about the Batman Superman Public Enemies. They made a reference to Superman having to busy handling the impeachment of President Luthor.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool that they're actually tying them together, because they used to release like animated movies, and they would all be like different, basically, you know, nothing to do with either one or any chronological order.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
In the past.
Public Enemy took place in the alternate universe, though, because Supergirl's alternate version, Power Girl, was in it. Like, I remember, because that was actually the first time I've ever seen Power Girl.
Oh, okay.
You may be right, sir.
Well, either way, they still mentioned that. I remember that distinctly. I noticed that last night. They said something about it. They were showing like the streets of Gotham and talking about Batman is still in hiding or not on the streets, basically. And then they said something about Superman is busy with the helping with the, I guess, the impeachment or something with President Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
I distinctly remember them saying President Luthor. So.
Well, yeah, but Luthor becomes president in any of the universes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
except
that.
For the Smallville TV show.
Yeah. But. Either way, I've noticed that, and I'm sure a lot of people made that same mistake, I guess. I don't know. My bad. I guess I lose some geek cred, but I never really was too into the DC comics anyways. I just watched the animated shows for DC. But yeah, definitely check it out. It's on Netflix Instant Watch, and you know, it's got the voices that everyone, you know, complains about not being in other, you know, Batman, Superman type cartoon movies. So it's got Tim Daly and Kevin Conroy, the original Batman and Superman, mm-hmm. or the true Batman and Superman, I should say, not the original, but if we're done with that, we can go on to a new segment that Stuart came up with. Stuart?
This is the Geek Question of the Week. Each week before the show, I'm going to post on Twitter and Facebook like a kind of a what-if question. And, you know, we're going to answer it. But then I'm also going to read off what, you know, the community says, you know, what their answers are. This week's question is, what if the holodeck from Star Trek, what if the holodeck technology was real? What would you do?
Like, you want to go first, Stuart?
I guess, if, you know, the holodeck technology was real, I would never leave it, because I would be totally addicted to it. I know that for a fact, because I have an insane imagination, and I'm going to want to play out my scenarios.
Like?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Usually they involve, like, getting back at people I know, or... You know, I've got, you know, the superhero complex, you know, getting the girl at the end type thing, or getting back at the girl who hurt me, that kind of thing.
Oh, gotcha. So you'd want to basically live out killing people.
Not really killing people, but make them regret.
Okay. That's interesting. I saw, I think Cookie said something about iPod. He would hook his iPod up to it.
Yeah, I'll get to that later. I think I know where he was going with his, with what he said.
Yeah, but for me, I would probably, like, I don't know, try to simulate all kinds of, like, I guess, concerts and stuff like that. When I saw that, I was thinking about that because I'm a huge fan of music and I love going to concerts and shows and stuff like that. So. Bad and movies and, you know, basically
you would
make it I was in the movie. Yeah. Exactly.
Would you be the one performing in the concert, or would you be the one observing the concert?
Oh, I would just be observing the concert and, like, the movie too.
I'd be performing.
Well, maybe I'd hook up my Rock Band controller to it somehow, but...
Dude, you got the holodeck, and you don't want to be a rock star? Come on.
It just seems too tiring. I'd rather just sit back and enjoy it. But, Knox, what would you do?
Honestly, man, I would become Commander Shepard. No, man, I would actually have, like, a whole program, and I would be Commander Shepard from Mass Effect 2, and I would go through just the whole thing as Commander Shepard. I mean, that would probably be the most coolest thing, like charging through worlds and actually, you know, being in the shoes rather than just controlling the protagonist. I would be the protagonist if I had that technology. I mean, I go all the way with it, man.
Yeah, but that would be pretty cool. So Stuart.
Okay.
We got some responses.
Go to the community. Danny Knight, he said, easy. Go on hot dates with A-list celebrities. Been wanting to do that ever since I became a Trek fan. His answer actually took three tweets to get through. He said, also get people in the media I dislike and use them as punching bags. That way I vent my anger and won't go to jail.
Nice.
In the wrong hands, folks will stimulate bank heists and assassinations on people.
I guess. I mean, it's not real, right? It's just...
Yeah.
So it's not like they're actually hurting people by pretending to kill.
You know, the kind of the video game dilemma there. You know, killing people in video games. But I guess it would be a lot different with the holodeck, because you are actually doing it, though.
Instead of just pressing a button.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You can just write it off and say it's just a really advanced technological punching bag. That's all it is. I mean, you're probably going to have the potential to do the same thing with, say, like the Move or like the Kinect. I mean, you know, you're actually behind, you know, the actual motion. So would that be any different, or would that make you feel any different?
Yeah, well, I guess not.
Yeah, it probably would, because you'd actually have the... Because with, like, the Move and the Kinect, you can just, you know, just continue moving on through. But with the holodeck, you actually feel the stop. Like, you actually feel the the resistance.
But it's still virtual, though.
True.
And still simple. And add in 3D in a couple years when it's mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks okay, like we're getting
say,
there.
Say, for instance, you were playing the holodeck program, and you said, computer, load up Modern Warfare 2, and you played the airport scene, and that scene loaded up, and now you're actually behind the shoes.
Hmm.
Is pressing a button that much more, I guess,
removed?
You know, right, exactly, than actually doing the actual motion in the holodeck? I mean, because essentially it's the same thing. I mean, it's still virtual people. It's a lot more realistic and a lot more, you know.
I would have a problem with it. In the sense of, like, me personally, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I wouldn't have a problem because I didn't kill anybody in Modern Warfare 2 to begin with.
So I'll take it you pressed A on the on the initial screen when it said you want to skip the violence.
Oh no, I just I went along. I just walked and watched and because I wanted to see what the whole fuss was about.
Yeah, I played it soon. I killed people with it, but you know, being in the holodeck, that's a different situation though. That would just be too real for me.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm killing everybody. I'm killing everybody. I'm loading up the boss program. I'm loading up my third grade teacher program, and I'm going through. Just
Wow. Huh. Yeah, that would be interesting. Honestly, I'd probably live out some of the shows I watch, and just to see how it feels from the character's point of view, like. I guess that would involve killing, because one of my favorite shows is Dexter.
Yeah.
I guess, but to see whether it makes a difference or not, killing like a murderer, you know, or a rapist, or you know, whether or not it actually does feel like you're doing justice or not. I guess I would try that out, because I don't want to kill a rapist or murderer, you know, in real life, because that's still killing, you know, that's actually killing. But if I had the holodeck, I'd, you know, live that out to see how it felt without having the, you know, consequences behind it. Because I'm not slick enough to pull that off like Dexter. You know, I can never do shit like that for real. I'm too clumsy, and I'd screw up the first time. But do we got any more?
Oh yeah, we got a couple more. Lazarus Vector XB says he'd create the Halo in the holodeck, then play with the safeties turned off. Now that's legendary edition or legendary difficulty. Is. Yeah, and I would say unless you are Master Chief, really, you're not going to survive.
I'm sure that's what he would be, though. I'm sure he would be Master Chief.
But you know, still, just you know, like a grunt would actually stick you. That's taken out by a grunt.
Yeah, I remember at the end of Halo Reach, that's the big thing. It was like, I know we're gonna die, but please don't be by a grunt.
Yeah,
but yeah, that would be pretty interesting. I mean, I think we mentioned that before, you know, gaming. So yeah, there'd be so many games from I'd want to live out. God, I'm probably would be in there with you, Stuart, never leaving. Now that I think about it.
Okay, and the last is Cookie360. Even though I don't like general motion gaming, it'd be cool as an add-on for games. You can actually punt a football. Now, I think he wasn't going for more like the holodeck, but a hologram.
Oh, okay. I was just about to say, Cookie, you have the holodeck, and all you want to do is kick a football?
Oh.
He also said, also an iPod Touch with holotech technology, so the album art and music you could spin around, and you could actually flip through your albums. So yeah, he's more talking about holograms
Yeah.
than actually the holodeck.
Yeah, because when you have the holodeck, you can pretty much say whatever you want, and it'll pretty much, it'll create it. I mean, so.
I guess you could create that type of holograms in the holodeck.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be pretty cool, because, you know, you see the Iron Man, you know, the holograms he has to do all kinds of stuff, and you see him in other shows, and I'd love to try that stuff out, you know.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I always see those, and I'm like, will that ever be real? Will we is there actually that technology now, and it's just like top secret? I honestly don't know.
Maybe.
That'd be the coolest if like the military actually had stuff like that, and it's just super top secret.
I think they have the hologram technology, but I think it's just so expensive to reproduce a holographic image. That, I mean, there's no way that they can put it on like a home console or something as, you know, as small and cost effective as like a PC or something like that. It would be an enormous amount of money that wouldn't be viable for any type of regular consumer.
Yeah, in 5 years we'll have it on our phones. I mean, I never thought we'd have dual core, you know, phone, you know, dual core CPUs on phones, but here we have them.
Yeah, the only dangerous part about like the holodeck technology is, I ask you guys' opinion. Like, do you think, you know, that type of stuff should be monitored, or do you think it should be, you know, whatever a person, you know, wants to do? Because I mean, you have people that get addictive to, like, you know, World of Warcraft and EverQuest and stuff like that. I mean,
I have no idea who those people holodeck are.
I mean, so you talk about people having a full holodeck experience that could, you got some pretty, you know, deranged and lost people out there that could kind of get themselves, you know, kind of addicted or lost in this type of thing. People wouldn't eat, you know, because they're constantly in this world. That would kind of be like the only danger. What do you guys think about that?
I agree. Also the people who would get so, you know, get so into it and then leave it and forget that they left it, you know.
Yeah.
And then they would start, you know, trying to actually kill people or do stuff, you know, that could be a dangerous threat too.
I've been trying to think if they actually did do an episode of Star Trek about something like that.
Yeah, it was
What's his name?
I can't think of who it was, but he was addicted to this virtual girl on the inside of the was it Geordi?
Okay, yeah, there was Geordi, and then there was also Barclay.
Yeah. Right.
Who kept disappearing and going into the holodeck.
Yeah. Yeah, they were addicted to it.
And then you
run the risk of falling in love with like a virtual woman.
Yeah, that'd be bizarre.
You know, how awkward would it be, you know, if, you know, you're getting down with that holographic girl and then somebody walks in and then shuts down the holodeck? And
oh, yeah.
How awkward would that be?
Yeah, that'd be pretty weird.
Man, I'm married, man. I'm just thinking, like, the awkwardness that would be. Yeah, I'm going to go play this video game. It's like, you're always in the game. Yeah.
Oh, really? What game are you playing?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't decided yet. But yeah, that would be pretty cool. And who knows? That may be, we may see that in our lifetime. I don't know. Seems like technology is increasing so fast.
I don't think that we'll see that type of tech in our technology. That's like creating fully functional worlds, and then you have to figure out, okay, when you walk so far, like how do you kind of trick your mind into thinking that you're still in this virtual plane, but still have enough room to be able to just mentally be able to think that you're in this space.
Yeah, I know Anthony from the Angry Mailman. He was on one of his show, I think at the past two shows, he was talking about that soon. Though it's said that soon we'll be able to, like, upload our brains or whatever in, like, computers or something like that. So, I mean, maybe through something like that, it could be accomplished, like, upload our, you know, our brains or thoughts or memories or whatever you want to call it into, like, a computer program, into, you know, Grand Theft Auto or, you know, Mass Effect, and do it that way. I don't know.
Have you guys seen the movie Surrogates?
Yes.
I've seen that. Yeah.
That's what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like uploading your mind into a robot body, and then you're able to do whatever.
Yeah. Personally, I would never do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
I mean, just because I'm religious, and what point does, I mean, if you transfer your, like, I guess your brain or your thoughts or whatever to you know, a machine, and then your body dies, what happens to, like, your soul and stuff like that, basically. I just look at it through religion eyes, so, but.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because you're kind of, voyeuring through, you know, this created person, so. I mean, essentially, you're pretty much living out, you know, your supposed life through, a virtual avatar, which is not you, you know. So, I mean, at what point do you accept the fact that you are you and then live your life, or do you keep, you know, living through this other thing's life, you know, through any type of, you know, as far as your subconscious?
Definitely, yeah. Well, do you have a question for next week? Picked out?
Not yet. Or... Yeah, just stay. Hey, I'm always on this. Just keep an eye on the Geeks for the Win Twitter and or the Facebook, and whenever I come up with one, or if anybody listening has one, just send it to me and I'll take a look at it. Yeah, just kind of a what if question, you know, something geeky.
Definitely. Or if you know something that's on, like, Netflix or Hulu that you want us to check out for the I Recommend section.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're all about, you know, listener feedback, you know, and we're always looking to view more, you know, more TV shows or, you know, movies that we never would have thought to give a shot. So that's the whole reason why we created that section.
Yeah.
But, I guess, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Oh, no, not really.
No? You can do your thing.
Okay. I guess Blue Man over at OFR would call it a hot minute, but me, I'm just calling it just a plain rant. Just from listening to podcasts and, you know, and seeing people on Twitter, like, I'm not pointing fingers at any individual person, just as a whole. I'm just sick and tired of people insulting, like, movies or TV shows or video games that they've never even watched or, you know, played or, you know, have any knowledge of. They've just seen, like, a trailer and they automatically say, oh, that's retarded. I'm not going to watch that because it's just stupid. And I'm just sick and tired of it, because I mean, you don't know what it is until you actually, you can't really form an opinion until you actually, you know, acquire the knowledge about the subject. You guys understand what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, fully.
I mean, because I mean, how do I say that? I don't know. I just see it so much everywhere. People are just talking, and you know, I'll just, if I see a trailer, you know, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't jump at me, I won't say it looks horrible, stupid movie, you know. I'll just say it just doesn't look like it's for me. I won't just go out and insult something, because I mean, you know, I could say a certain movie looks stupid and horrible and retarded or whatever, and Stuart could really like it, and I could be hurting his feelings without, you know, even knowing, just by being ignorant and saying, you know, the stuff I'm saying. Because, you know, just because you think something's not good doesn't mean someone else that you are friends with or know doesn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's okay with a person giving their opinion you know, of something that they don't like. But I just don't like the fact that how can you give or formulate, you know, even I probably would say a credible opinion on something that you haven't even taken the time out to even view yet or play yet. I mean, it's kind of like you're going off a, you know, off a hollow, you know, I mean, you have nothing to base your opinion on. I mean, it's just like, I mean, you saw a trailer or you saw, you know, I mean, a demo or something like that, and you just didn't automatically like it. I mean, I really don't see how you could formulate a reasonable opinion off just doing something like that.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I gave an example about The Cape, you know, before it even came out, before people even had a chance to see it, you know, people were knocking it, saying it looked retarded and they weren't going to watch it. And, you know, it basically insulting it. And here I am having high hopes, hoping it's good, you know, because no one knows, no one's seen it yet. And there's all kinds of people knocking it.
I've gotten an even better example. A couple years ago when Mass Effect 1 came out, there was that whole debacle about the sex scene in it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys see what was going on with Fox News with that?
Oh, yeah, that chick at Fox News was talking about it. And then when she actually did, someone actually told her to actually sit down and watch it. And called her out on it. She was like, "Oh, that's not that bad."
Well, yeah, it was Jeff Keighley. He said during the debate, "Have you played this game?" She said, "No." Then how can you have? Well, meanwhile, during the whole thing, they're actually playing, you know, showing on the screen the entire scene.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she actually said she said well I Googled it before the show started. Okay, you are a news reporter, a respective journalist, and you say you say that you Googled it before the show started. I mean, are you serious? Like
on national television, nonetheless.
Right. Yeah.
That's a perfect example of just, you know, going in something with just blind ignorance, not even knowing, just ready to bash something for your own personal gain.
Yeah. So basically, I'm just tired. I'm tired of it, and I'm just saying, people, be polite. Don't insult something. I mean, you can give your opinion, but, you know, do your research before you give a full-blown opinion on something, because you never know till you actually, you know, either play it or watch it. I mean, because I've thought some stuff was going to be really bad, and then I ended up watching it, and I've enjoyed a lot of things that it's just, there could be a really bad trailer or, you know, a really bad demo. It doesn't, you know, you can't really base a whole movie off of the, 60-second trailer?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah. You know? And I'm going to tell you, because, I mean, I'm going to tell you honestly, I watched the Inception trailer and I was like, what is this? I mean, they're trying to be like the, you know, they're trying to copy the Matrix. I mean, they're trying to, you know, take a page out of the darkness or whatever. I'm like, oh man, that movie's gonna whatever. Went to the movies. It was my movie of the year of 2010. I mean, there's an old saying, you know, it goes. I mean, you know, God bless you with two ears and one mouth, so you should, you know, listen twice as much as you speak.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's my rant. And you know, I've just the last few weeks up to like, I guess a month, I've just noticed it a lot. And I just had to get that out. And maybe some of the people who have been doing it are listening, and, you know,
stop it.
I'm not pointing fingers at any particular person. You know, there's so many examples I could make right now, but I'm not going to do that because, you know, I have manners and I'm polite. I'm not going to, you know, call anybody out, but just wanted to make that well aware that, you know, it's just not right to insult something or make an opinion before you even know what it is.
Go ahead. This is William's Bashcast.
But I guess we can wrap up the show. We are, you know, the Geeks for the Win. You can You can leave us feedback a variety of ways. Twitter.com/TheGeeksFTW. You can send us an email at TheGeeksFTW@gmail.com. You can leave comments on the site on any of the articles on this post, or if you see Knox has written an article and you got an opinion about it, you know, you can leave a comment there, or
after you read it.
Any of our other, yes, after you read it, you can leave your opinion after you've read it and are well informed. We got a Facebook group, right, Stuart?
Yes. Well, it's a Facebook group. Just search Geeks for the Win. Look for our logo.
Yes.
And like us.
And all of our every time an article is submitted on the site, it's tweeted by the Geeks FTW on Twitter, and it's also published on the Facebook group. So if you're involved in any of those and you want to keep track of our articles, you know, that's a good way to do it. And all of us basically retweet every article that's tweeted on Twitter. So
or try to.
Try to anyways. Any other feedback? Oh, yes. The phone number. I forgot about the phone number. I think it's 1347 Geek FTW. I could be wrong, but I think it.
I still don't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 347 Geek FTW. Yeah. If it's not, it'll be on the it'll be in the show note description. So, if it's not, sorry, I'm not informed on that. But
I think you got it right.
Yeah, I. But anyways, I think that's all.
If you hear somebody named Big Bertha pick up, that's probably not us.
No, not at all. I don't even know.
Large Marge sent you.
Honestly, I don't even know what area code 347 is. I just searched, you know, any type of Geek FTW or, you know, Geeks or anything I could think of, because I wanted some kind of, you know, easy spelling to be able to say, hey, it's blah, 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 Geek FTW or The Geeks or, you know, stuff like that.
Too bad we can't remember it.
Yeah, I think it's 347. I'm pretty sure it's 347. But I guess we can go to shout-outs now. iTunes reviews. Leave us iTunes reviews. Almost forgot.
Zune 2.
That's a big thing. Zune 2, yes. And I know all of you with gamer tags can leave us Zune reviews, because you can just use your gamer tag for the Zune, even if you don't, because it's the same thing, you know. If you have a gamer tag, you have a Zune account. It's automatically. It's the same thing. But anyways, I guess we can go into shout-outs. Knox, since you're our guest, you want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. Man, I always say on every podcast I hate doing this. So I'm just going to say give a shout-out to my family, give a shout-out to my wife, giving a shout-out to OFR as a whole. Shout out to you, William. Shout out to you, Stuart, for having me on. Thank you guys for having me on. Shout out to Scar. Shout out to Sherry. Shout out to Scoba, Pimpin. Shout out to just everybody that's in the podcasting world. Shout out to Vic. Everybody that's part of TAG, PGR. You know, shout out to my brothers. And shout out to the people still playing Halo Reach. That's it.
Alrighty. Okay. Stuart?
I meant to mention this last show, but I completely forgot, so I wrote it down. I'd like to shout out to the Anchor Mailman podcast for gives the industrious Wordsmith Award to the to the two guys who stutter all the time.
Yeah. you know what I have to say to that? Yeah, I'm taking a voice and diction class. So, yeah, I'm going to get better. I'm taking a whole class in college just to improve. So there you go, Angry Mailman.
I had two of those. Yeah, I had two of those classes in when I was in I believe I was in the fifth grade. It was an easy A.
Yeah, I think I had a few of those classes in elementary school too, but yeah, I'm taking a voice and diction class in college, basically just because I'm aware I, you know, have some problems with talking and just want to improve my personal speech. So,
well, hey, maybe this year we'll win the most eloquent speech award.
Exactly.
Hopefully, I have a goal now. anybody else?
The writing staff, you know, Knox, Elf, Chaos Theory, Cookie sometimes.
Yeah, he's posting the deal of the weeks, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Because I know a lot of us need good deals. Because I know for me, I'm poor. I can any good deal I can get, I'll take it. any more?
That's all I got.
Alrighty. I guess shout out. First, shout out to me because I looked it up, and yes, it is 347 Geek FTW. So I actually remembered it. Go me. To be serious, I guess shout out to you, Knox, for coming on. I know I've wanted to have you on long, you know, way before this, but it's just we just have had crazy scheduling, and now we're just starting to actually settle down and try to have a actual schedule, you know, normal recording schedule.
Right.
Because we had during the holidays, there was just chaos. It was just chaos. I bravo to all the other podcasters who were able to, you know, pull through that, because we weren't, and we're only two people.
Well, two jobs didn't really help. So.
Yeah, that's true. Shout out to the OFR crew. Especially the guys on Prove Your Point. That was I really enjoyed that podcast. That's probably one of my favorite podcasts in the last, I don't know, couple weeks. Who was it? You, Knox, Ace Black, Blue Man, and Anthony?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was some good stuff. And you know, it's tough to debate on it, but you had it easy, Knox. You didn't have to judge.
Oh yeah,
that's the toughest.
I don't
think I could judge, man.
Yeah, I got show notes for the next Prove Your Point, and I think I'm gonna be judging the next one. It looks like, so I'm kind of wary about that, but
good luck.
You know, shout out to the Geeks for the Win staff, of course, and shout out to I don't know if he listens, but Paul from the Fish Factory Games. He was the lead developer who sent me the review copy and basically contacted me asking me to write the review and gave me a free copy of the game. Thanks. I enjoyed it, and the review's up. So.
Yeah, and if anybody else in the gaming industry wants to send us a game, you know, Blizzard, you know, go right ahead.
Yeah. For me, it'd probably be Gearbox. Gearbox, you know, I'll definitely, you know, when Borderlands 2 comes out, you know, I'll review it. Don't worry, I'll review it for you. But yeah, I guess that's it. This has been episode 28 of the Geeks for the Win, and we will see you next time.
Adios.